Okay, good afternoon, everyone. Just to reiterate our gratitude to the Furla Financial Group sponsoring the afternoon kollel, and to David and Shoshi Meyerfeld in honor of the birth of their great-granddaughter, Mazel Tov, she'll have a lot of nachas. Rivka Ehrenfeld should have a lot of simcha and a lot of nachas, and we thank all those who have sponsored and will sponsor again in the future. I want to pick up where we left off last week. We were going through the sugya. The Gemara had mentioned not going Dalet Amos, Begili Rosh, not walking far Amos with the head uncovered. And we started talking a little bit about the halacha of Yarmulke. Is it Midas Chassidus? Is it Meikar Adin? According to some, the Gra and others, it's Midas Chassidus to have your head covered at all. According to others, no, Meikar Adin, you have to have your head covered. The Midas Chassidus was having a second covering, not just a Yarmulke, but a second covering. So I want to finish halacha lemaisa, that comment about Gilei Rosh. First, we talked about not walking with a koma zakufa, your nose high in the air, and the shear. I forgot to look up. Anyone look into the inner ear balance question?
Level.
Nobody looked in?
I did.
You looked it up? Level? Okay. So the Shulchan Aruch Harav, it said that the shear is that your head shouldn't be held so high that you can't see your shoes, you can't see your toes. It shouldn't be so low that you're bumping into things and don't see anybody. You shouldn't, the idea is the Rambam Shvil Azav, you gotta walk the golden mean. Your nose shouldn't be too high in the air, nor should you be so exceedingly humble that you're actually walking into things that should be somewhere in between. The word that we use, the Gemara talks about not walking Begilei Rosh, not walking with your head uncovered. We describe what we wear on our head as, what do we call it?
Yeah.
A kippah. Kippah. Kippah means a covering. You know, the Iron Dome in Israel is called Kippah Barzel, exactly, the dome, the iron kippah. Kippah is a covering. We call it in Hebrew, in Yiddish, not sure exactly what language it is, a yarmulke. Anyone know where that word yarmulke comes from? So there's an article in the journal Chakira by Dan Rabinowitz, and he writes in there the following. Some maintain it's derived from the Turkish word yagmurluk, meaning rainwear. Others argue the word is derived from a combination of two Turkish words, yarim, which means half, and qap, hat, or half or a small hat. The folk etymology links yarmulke with two Aramaic words, yiramalka, fear of the king. Some other word, in some other article, in the origin of the word yarmulke, he quotes that. The word yarmulke also has entered popular expression. The major dictionaries all have entries for yarmulke. Interestingly, the Oxford English Dictionary defines yarmulke as a skull cap worn by male Orthodox Jews at all times. Interesting.
So they paskin.
So what is the halacha? I just wanted to finish up the halacha lemaisa. So we're on page one in your handout. In the middle of the page, the Shulchan Aruch in Aruch Chaim Siman Beis, which is the halachas of getting dressed in the morning. So the Shulchan Aruch writes, Arba Amos Begilei Rosh. Person shouldn't walk for. I'm sorry. Also, Leilach Bekomas Zekufa, but Leilach Arba Amos Begilei Rosh. You can't walk with a koma zakufa, too arrogant, nor should you walk with your head uncovered. Why? We saw the language of tznius. And I mentioned last week, there's tznius for the body, and there's tznius for the intellect. The modesty of the intellect is a yarmulke. The yarmulke on top of the brain, the head, reminds us of our limitations and the modesty of the brain. The yachasa kogufo, and so on and so forth. The Mishnah Berurah writes here, bekoma zakufa, shadocha gragla ashchina kaviyachol, quoting our Gemara, and if you walk around arrogantly, you're pushing away God's presence. Al kein katzva acharon, the asa afilu pachas me'ar ba'amos. U'pashat afilu omid b'mekom of eino holech klal. It's not just you shouldn't walk with your nose in the air. Even standing still, you shouldn't have your nose in the air. You should make room with modesty for Hashem wherever you are. V'lo yeilech afilu b'bayi sheish bo tikra v'koshkin tachas avir Hashemayim v'yesh li'zor l'kul yama. Whether you're walking in a covered area or an uncovered area, one should walk humbly. Ar ba'amos u'midas chasidus. Now we're talking about midas chasidus afilu pachas me'arba amos v'afilu beis hashena b'layla. Mishnah Berurah quotes a practice. I happen to observe it myself and have since my year in yeshiva to sleep with a yarmulke, a shlufkaf. I have a bigger yarmulke that doesn't fall off. You got to get the right size so you don't spend every morning looking for the yarmulke that fell off at some point during the night. But there's something to be said that you mamash wear a yarmulke. I wear a yarmulke every second other than when I'm in the shower. You're playing sports, you're sleeping. There's a sense of it. I'm not trying to say that from a koma zakufa point of view, but saying it can't be done. That's the only reason I'm or swimming, showering and swimming. Yesh mitzadin lomar dafila arba amas ein also bedina rak latznuim b'maaseim al vakvas lekos avataz devizmanenu iser gomer medina lios begili rosh afilu yoshe bebeso. The Taz Rizov says that an hour day that we have universally accepted to wear a yarmulke, it's no longer a considered to be a midas chasidus, an extra virtuous, meritorious thing, but it's something which is obligated as a primary obligation. The custom of Magen Avraham, the next line, afilu ketanim nachon hargilim b'kisa rosh, even young children, you should train them to cover their head. Ki echid lav elayim masa d'shmaya, so that they have a certain sense of fear, awe, a presence of Hashem. Kediisa b'Shabbos kuf nun vav, references the Gemara Shabbos kuf nun vav. What's the Gemara there in Shabbos kuf nun vav? The Gemara there tells the story. It says, Rab Nachman Bar Yitzchak, I'm reading to you, you don't have it in front of you, but I'm reading to you from that Gemara in Shabbos. Imei de Rab Nachman Bar Yitzchak Imrle Kaldoi. The astrologers once told Rab Nachman Bar Yitzchak's mother, Berech Ganavahu. Your son, based on his astrological sign, he's going to be a thief. Lo Shavkase Galuya Reshei. How did she respond? Now, that a thief is somebody who has no awareness of God's presence, who feels you can steal and you'll have no accountability. How did she respond? What was the antidote? She never let him go out with his head uncovered. Amr Lei, she told him, Kase reshech kiechi tetavi alech emsa deshmaya. Cover your head so you'll always have fear of heaven. Uboy rachame, and pray that Hashem will have mercy on you. So here the Mishnah Berurah is referencing that Gemara in Shabbos and saying, we therefore should train even our minor children, even when they're not the age of chinuch. But you train a child, you know, always have something on your head. You wear a big yarmulke, you wear a hat, and so on. Yes, I understand. I know exactly what you're talking about, and I try to. It's astounding. At least in shul, you teach a child, at least in shul you wear a yarmulke. I have a young son, and it's not easy, you know. He's just turned 5, so keep a yarmulke. Right, but it's one thing you say when you come to shul, when you make a bracha, when you do certain things, at least until they're ready to wear it all the time. Can you put your hand on your head? Does that count? So the Mishnah Berurah writes, Koshken sh'as levarach v'hu adin loma begili rosh. You certainly can't learn or make a bracha with your head uncovered. Putting your own hand on your head doesn't help. You can't call your head covered if you're using your hand, because your head and your hand are part of the same body. Some say, in extraordinary circumstances, you can. You're thirsty in the middle of the night, you need a drink. Again, if you're wearing your shlufkaf, it's not a problem. But you can't find a hat or a yarmulke, so... So you take the sleeve, you take some article of clothing, you put it on your head, then that's not an extension of yourself, it's something else. Everybody agrees that is considered to be a covering. Where does this come up, that people make a bracha with no yarmulke on their head? It comes up the most pious person who's scrupulous and vigilant never to do it, unintentionally does it when? You see it every day, every morning. When they put on their tefillin shorosh, writes the Mishnah Berurah, they're taking the yarmulke off while they're fitting the tefillin shorosh. They're making the bracha before you tighten it. You already make the bracha on the tefillin and then baruch shem afterwards. So when they're making the bracha before it's tightened, while trying to balance the yarmulke and get the straps around it, so you see people are making a bracha begila rosh. Says the Prima Gadim, Mishnah Berurah is emphasizing that is a time to be careful. Yes?
What about the bracha
sheyotzi? The bracha sheyotzi, you should have your head covered. You have to wash your hands after you go to the bathroom. It doesn't have to be 3 times or outside the bathroom. It doesn't have to be with a kli. You should wash your hands and then you make a bracha. So again, if you're wearing a shlufkaf, it's not a problem. If you're not, your yarmulke should be next to your bed. Wear it to the bathroom, out, get back into bed, take it off. Yes.
As an aside, matter of legend, we had a chaplain in the army who's a reformed chaplain, and he was having a meal with the other chaplains, and everyone was making a benediction. It's his turn, and he put his hand over his head to make a bracha on a bowl of shrimp. So the Protestant minister came into the chaplain, and he says, being was different.
It's an interesting story, Steve, but it's actually a chabura for another time, but it's a machlokas Rambam Ravid whether you make a bracha on non-kosher food. It's machlokas. Not so posh that you don't. Because on the one hand, also lehanos mi'olam hazeh b'lo bracha, you can't benefit from this world without making a bracha. It's like stealing. On the other hand, it's as if you're blaspheming God to invoke His name while you're ignoring His word. That's like yelling, "Honey, I love you," while you're cheating on her. It's like what's so.
The next line in the
Mishnah Berurah. Okay, let's continue. The Shulchan Aruch Rav, the Alter Rebbe writes, "Midas Chasidus Shel Leilach Dal Amas Begilei Rosh, Gam BiYemeim Sherov HaAma Yirgil Leilach Lefan Harbe Begilei Rosh, Neachom BiYamim Mahem VaAchshav Bezman Hazeh Shekulam Darkam Lachasas Roshem LiOlam Aser Leilach Afilo Leisha Begilei Rosh Mishum Tznius." He was the one who used that language of Tznius. That today, when universally people cover their head, we have to be scrupulous and careful about it. Okay, next page. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva. How big does your yarmulke have to be? So now that we've established you shouldn't walk around Begilei Rosh, how big should the yarmulke be? Again, did I bring the tshuva last week? We looked at, I think, yeah, the Rav David Zvi Hoffman, who quotes Rav Hirsch, that in Rav Hirsch's seminary in Germany, they would sit and learn half the day with their head uncovered. It's not that in public school their head wasn't covered. In the yeshiva, they only covered their head for Limud de Kodesh. That was the practice.
That was the
minhag there. So Rav Moshe is writing here, what is the shir of a yarmulke? B'kisi miktas arosh le'inyan leilech b'rechov u'le'inyan bracha. Zogt Rav Moshe, hinei b'dvar chisa miktas arosh k'yom b'yarmulke ketana. You're wearing a small yarmulke. What's the minimum shir? You see sometimes today, a person's wearing a yarmulke the size of a thumbnail. You need a magnifying glass to find it on their head. So in Mutar Leilech Kein Berchov, Kemosherosh Rabbah Meiri Hashem, Noagin Leilech Kein Berchov. I think when Rav Moshe was talking about a small, tiny yarmulke, he wasn't even coming close to the tiny yarmulkes we have today. So what is the shir? Re'ei Tshuva Me'agon Rav Shlomo Kluger, Ha'olef Lach Shlomo, V'kisei Miktas Mati Rak Pepachos Midalad Amos, V'gilei Kol Rosh Oser Af V'ilei Pepachos Midalad Amos. Rosalei D'dayte Ha'klusha Ichles Noag L'maisa. Shlomo Kluger says that really to walk more than Dalad Amos, you need a yarmulke that covers the majority of your head. Midas Chasidus is to wear such a big yarmulke less than Dalad Amos. But less than Dalad Amos, you at least need a small yarmulke. So the average yarmulke that most people wear today, the greater my hairline has receded, the bigger my yarmulke has gotten. It's a direct ratio. So, but most people wear a yarmulke, if they're zeichet, to still have a head of hair, they wear a yarmulke that does not cover the majority of their head. So for Rav Shlomo Kluger, that's a violation of walking Begilei Rosh. That's Dalad Amos. Your head might as well be uncovered. So how does Rav Moshe hold? What does Rav Moshe hold? Here's a long tshuva. We're not going to read the whole thing. Skip to the second underline, the left-hand column, because we have a lot more to cover today. V'lachein l'maisa harotza l'hachmer v'lachash l'dasa gron Rav Shlomo Kluger tzarech l'chasas rov roshu shabarov hakovim uv yalmukas agadolim. If you want to be vigilant for Rav Shlomo Kluger's opinion, then you wear a big yarmulke that covers the majority of your head. But you are not obligated to follow his opinion. Rav Shlomo Kluger is a minority opinion. Says Rav Moshe, what's the shear? You need a yarmulke that's enough that someone would say there's something on your head.
Visible
from all sides. If it's so small and it blends so in that no one would notice there's something on your head, that someone who would see you would say, I don't even notice a yarmulke, that's called your head is uncovered. If the yarmulke is big enough that someone would say, there's something on your head, you could see it from different sides, says Rav Moshe, that is the shear of a yarmulke. Okay, turn the page. Page 3. Rav Moshe has another tshuva, which I include for your, I would say, entertainment. But on the bottom right of page 3, V'davar k'nisa l'theater ulu movies. Haru davar aser. Should you wear a yarmulke in the movies, Rav Moshe was asked. So he says, first of all, going to the movies is aser. Now, Rav Moshe was talking about, you know, what we would call
50s.
The 50s. G-rated movies, I don't know, westerns, I don't even know. V'eich shayach sh'atiru lo lahasir eskovo v'lios begilei rosh v'yosef urcheit al cheto. I guess someone said, is it okay to go to a movie if I take off my yarmulke? To which Rav Moshe said, it's also to go to the movie. And why would you compound it by taking your yarmulke off. If it's somebody who's so drawn to the movie and they're not going to listen when you tell them don't go, will I tosh yaser kova v'lo yilechel Hashem b'shul shiyedu shu yehudi shomer Torah v'yisvara gedolo avarakul machav in Hashem shemayim. Maybe it is better not to make a chil Hashem to sip a gilei rosh, but you should only do that if your kavana is l'shem shemayim. V'kevin sherocha glomar sheisha tokev yitzar av l'chav in l'shem shemayim of the kavanas of b'emes rak l'zazel b'odover gam b'isar gilei rosh l'chein ein lahatir lo. So bless you. So Moshe is essentially concluding, better to keep the yarmulke on, maybe your conscience will kick in and you'll leave the movie.
I did it yesterday, I was in the movie yesterday, and a woman comes up to me at the end of the movie. What a beautiful kippah you have on.
Nice, there you go. Okay.
But you can wear a baseball cap. I mean,
right, so maybe that's the answer, is to wear a cap. Right, maybe it depends on the rating. Wear no yarmulke, yarmulke, a cap, and it all depends on... yeah.
That's a small yarmulke movie.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Vaiter, today's Gemara. That was all concluding last week.
A quick question.
Yes.
If a person has a toupee.
Yes.
So, in terms of halacha, it's covering the whole.
Correct.
His whole head. However, it's not normally noticeable by others.
Correct. So it really depends on the nature. If it's having something on top of your head, I think the idea is to have something above what you're normally wearing, something so more than. Right. Okay, Lamed Aleph, Lamed Aleph.
You never said anything about
the toupee. He just said, yeah, he just asked. No, he asked about the toupee. I think the idea is that you're wearing something above and beyond what you're normally, what you're looking to fit in for an appearance.
There was a hepatophobic guy who was teaching in school in the old time, and he managed to have a toupee specifically because at the time maybe...
He thought, right, so it's better than nothing. It certainly is avoiding Gilei Rosh.
Right.
But it's not achieving the Kiddush Hashem component of being recognizable as a Ben Torah. What? It's cheaper than a toupee. It is. That it is. So that's part of this machlokus. And for Sfaradim, it still hasn't come into play. Right? Certain mesorahs, and that's the machlokus. Is it Midas Chasidus? Is it Meikar Adin? Where does Bechuk Oseim Lo Seilechu come into it? And so on and so forth. For Ashkenazim today, it is universally practiced, and therefore it's binding. That's what the Taz was saying, beyond just a nice thing for when you make a bracha, it's binding. Again, there was a generational thing. My father and my father-in-law, neither wore yarmulke to work. And my father-in-law is still working and works, and now he wears the yarmulke, actually. He recently began wearing it for whatever reason. But even when he was wearing it, you know, living and working in a frum neighborhood, but... There were generations that you would be compromising your parnasa. You would be unable to get certain jobs or business opportunities if you wore a yarmulke. We're blessed today. We're blessed and cursed to live today in a generation where anyone could do anything and no one's allowed to have an opinion about them. And that includes wearing a yarmulke. So there's a plus and a minus to that, living in that time. But I think that today it should be an understanding that people should wear the yarmulke. Oh, okay, so it depends where you go to and the opportunities you're going to have. Yes? Who?
By Dr. Louis Jacobs.
Sure.
He never wore.
Right.
Once he came.
Right. Well, you know the story they tell you, I've quoted the story. Hopefully you won't be offended by it. They say the story from Rav Futner, that when the Hasidim of Chabad came to Rav Futner and said, you know, you were in university in Europe with our Rebbe, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, is it true that in class, everybody else was listening, but he always had a Gemara under the textbook, he was always learning. So Rav Futner looked at him and he said, it's not possible. He said, what do you mean? He said, I knew your Rebbe. I know your Rebbe. He's a great man. He would never learn without a yarmulke. Rav Futner was very sharp. Anyway, we're in the Gemara Kedushin Daf Lamed Aleph. Yes, the Lubavitcher Rebbe's passport picture from Europe, from France, he's not wearing a yarmulke. Yeah. Right. Amazing. It's the result of the Kiddush Hashem. Beautiful, very beautiful.
Yeah. Earliest dates that people were wearing.
I don't know. I mean, clearly in the Gemara. The Gemara is already referencing. Remember, we saw a Gemara a few blad ago, the difference between a single person and a married person, which the Magen Avraham understood being a reference to wearing a talus over your head. That's the origin of the minhag of only married people. But it seems Rav Nachman's mother said, yeah, he's going to be a ganav. I better make sure he's wearing a yarmulke all the time. So at least to the time of the Gemara. And earlier, that's how do you know, somebody said last week, Rabbi Brand said, how do you know that Yaakov Avinu wore a yarmulke? Because the parasha says, Vayetze Yaakov, would Yaakov go out without a yarmulke? So at least it goes back to Yaakov Avinu. All right, let's go weiter. Yeah, now let's go weiter. I want to make sure we cover a little new ground in the Gemara today. Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph. We are where I have the bracket. Everyone see what we're up to? We're on page 4. I'm still giving you the Gemara, and you're still not bringing new people. It's not a very good relationship here. Oy, Shaul ben Amona Achas is Rabbi Eliezer. The certain orphan, the son of a widow, asked Rabbi Eliezer, Abba Omer Hashkeni Mayim V'imo Omer Hashkeni Mayim Ezemem Kodim. I have the following dilemma. My mother and my father, they're sitting next to each other on the couch schmoozing, and they each say, Sonny boy, get me a glass of water. Who do I get a glass of water for?
How can he ask that?
Water in each hand.
We'll see.
One glass, two, start.
So Amalai, Rabbi Eliezer says, Hanach kvod imcha v'asei kvod avicha. Sha'ata v'imcha chayav m'chvod avicha. So he said, don't worry about the covet for your mother in that moment. You need to follow through on the covet for your father. Why? Because both you and your mother are both obligated in the covet of your father. Let's see Rashi. Zogt Rashi. I'm sorry. Not yet. No Rashi here. Keep going, Viter. Balafne Rabbi Yeshua. So he comes to Rabbi Yeshua, this Ben Amana, whose father had died, and he asks the same question. So Amarlo Kach. So he tells him, this is Amarlo Kach. So Amarlo, so the Yosem says, Rebbe. So he says Kach. He gave him the same answer, that you only have to worry about your father's covenant because you and your mother are both obligated in the father. So Amarlo, so this Yosem says, Rebbe, Nizgarsha Mahu. What would be the halacha if my mother is divorced? What's the halacha then? Amalei said, "Mibein risa inecha nikar sheben almana ata." What are you asking me? Both these questions. Number one, you're asking me a mother and a father. Who do you give first? Your father's dead. And number two, what are you asking me if your mother was divorced? I know that your mother's not divorced. The reason you don't have a father is not because she was divorced, but it's because you're a orphan. And how do I know that? Mibein risa inecha, because your eyelashes are missing. Why are they missing? Because you've been crying so much. Nikar sheben almana ata. So what is the anyway? What's the answer though? Hatela had mayim b'seifel v'kakeo lehem kitar negolin. Put water in a bucket and cackle like a chicken to tell them come and get it, and let them fight it out. Whoever wants to get it. What's going on over here? Zakt Rashi. Now we have Rashi. Zakt Rashi. Amalo kach Rabbi Yeshua heishul kedar sheishu v'lo Rabbi Eliezer. He gave him the same answer, namely that put aside the covet for your mother because both you and your mother are obligated and covet for the father. So then he followed up Nizgarsha, says Rashi, She'ein imi chayeves b'chod avi mahu. If what you're saying is the reason the father comes first, I get him the glass of water, it's because both my mother and I are obligated to him. Well, what happens if my mother's not obligated to give him covet because they're divorced? So he calls them out. Don't tell me your mother's divorced. I know that she's a widow. Mi ben risa einecha. Sa'aros I could see from the hair on the flesh of your eye, namely your eyelashes, that you're a orphan. As we saw in the Gemara, those who just do the daf, who just finished Sanhedrin, at the end of Sanhedrin, we saw the story of Rabbi Gamliel. The Gemara that tells the story, Rabbi Gamliel heard his neighbor crying in the middle of the night. When he heard her crying, he cried over the churban. So how was she described as crying? Crying until her eyelashes fell out. So that's an indication. Someone cries so much, they mourn, they grieve so much, their eyelashes fall out. So Rabbi Yeshua knew, don't tell me your mother's divorced. I know that you're an orphan. How do I know that? You've been crying so much, your eyelashes fell out. And what does he answer him? So Shaben Omana Ata, Rashi, Lotzarach Atala Maisa El Alumar Bas, Vani Omer Lacha Shekvod Shneim Shava Alacha. I know you don't mean a halacha lemaisa because your father died, the case of Nisgarsha where they're divorced, but I'll answer you anyway because you want to know the halacha. And what's the halacha? Tell lehem mayim baseva v'kakeya. Kirko lehem kamushim mekarker and l'tarna golem. You want to tell the animals, it's time to eat, come and eat. So you blow the whistle to get the animal to come and eat. So I'm telling you the same thing. L'fish lohoya tzarech lasos. V'ushalu kamush alav lasos amalo. Abba v'ima yeshiva b'loshen tzchok. Since he asked him a question as if it were practical, but really it wasn't practical, so he answered him in a veiled way, in a humorous way as well. So the simple pshat in the Gemara, the pasha pshat in the Gemara is that what's going on over here? He comes to ask a theoretical question. If my mother and father both ask for a glass of water, who do I give it to? Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Shua both give the same answer that the halacha is you give it to the father, because the mother's also an obligation to the father. Who says the mother's also obligated to the father? So turn to page 5. The Rambam. The Rambam codifies this in Hilchos Ishus in the 15th parak, Halacha Yud Tes. It's like the Rambam, V'tchein tzivu chachamim, she'yodah mechabed es ishto yosar migufo, v'o'ava kegufo, v'yesh lo mamon marbi betevasa kefi mamono, v'lo yata la ema yiserev yadibura ima benachas v'yate v'lo ragzan, v'chein tzivu ala isha she'tia mechabed es es baila biyosar midai, V'yaleh amora mimenu, v'te'asa kol maaseh al-piv. Halavai. V'yabeineh kamo sar o melech, ma'alachas b'tay v'slivo, m'rachekes kol maaseh yisneh. So he's obligated to honor her. How does his honoring her express itself? By spending more money on her than he spends on himself. So if he allocates $100 a week for himself, $150 for her. If he allocates $5 a week for himself allowance, $20 a week for her. He's got to give her more than he gives himself. You can't love her more than you love yourself. So you love her like you love yourself, but you have to honor her more than yourself, meaning she gets a bigger stipend or an allowance than you give yourself. She has to honor him. In addition to honoring him, she has to have a mora for him. If we can maintain this relationship in marriage, it'll be beautiful, says the Rambam. So this is what the Rambam at least interpreted the Gemara, that sha'ata v'imcha chayav mechvod avicha, that you're both obligated in the kavod for the father. It's unclear whether this obligation of the woman's kavod for her husband is midoraisa or just midorabanan, but there is this sense of kavod.
Was he married, the
Rambam? What?
Was he married?
Rambam was married, absolutely. To at least one woman. Yes. What happens when what?
Just kidding.
We saw that last week.
Yeah, it's learned from a drasha in the Gemara. No, it's a Gemara in Yevamos. No, we haven't seen that yet.
You said it over last week.
I mentioned it last week. Yeah, the Gemara in Yevamos has it. Gemara in Yevamos on Daf Hey has it from the Pasuk. Ishimov aviv tirov eshab sosai tishmoru. So, kivud av is not docha Shabbos. So just like kivud av is not docha Shabbos, because you and atav avicha chayav mechvodi, so too kivud av is before kivud im. Why sha'ata v'imcha chayav mechvodi? That's a drush over there in Yevamos. Right, that exactly. We talked last week about that the obligation to honor grandparents is through the parent. And the obligation to honor...
If the father-in-law or mother-in-law is the same table as the husband, who does the woman give it to?
Her husband.
She has the
obligation to the husband. Exactly. That's what Shulchan Aruch said. Her mitzvah of kibud av v'im switches when she gets married. Exactly. Right. He's got to provide, but that's different than a sense of kavod. There's an afkamina which I want to get to right now.
He can be Michael, she can be Michael, and she still has to show kavod for him.
He can be Michael too, and he can be Michael too.
Yeah.
So let's see. Turn to page 6. You have the Shulchan Aruch there. Siman Resh Mem. Shulchan Aruch says the following. Yud Dalad. The very last sif there on the page. Siman Resh Mem sif Yud Dalad. Aviv Omer Lo Ashkeni Mayim. V'Ima Omeres Ashkeni Mayim. The father says, I need a drink. The mother says, I need a drink. Meiniach Ima V'Oseg B'Chvod Aviv. You worry about your father. V'Imihi Megureshes Me Aviv. Let's say your mother and father are divorced. Shneim shavim ulezim hem shir tzayaktim. What's the halacha? Dealer's choice. It's an impossible position the kid is in. The child gets to choose. He can give it to either the mother or the father. It's an impossible choice for the kid to be in. Right? So this is not exactly like the Gemara. The Gemara said you put the cup down between them and you say, here's a drink. You put two cups down. Come take your drink. But the Shulchan Aruch paskins, you bring it to whichever one. Even if you bring two drinks, you're going to hand it to someone first. Shulchan Aruch said, the Gemara sounded like you put it down. You let them take whoever gets to it first. Shulchan Aruch says, you choose which one you want to get to first. Yes. Okay, the Pisrei Tshuva in source on page 7. Pisrei Tshuva says the following nafkamina, Sif Kotten Test, top of page 7. Meiniach imo ein berheite venirali lechora imamar lo aviv lasos malacha she'enei shemichuyevus lasos labayla kasher mavur b'shulchan aruch evan ha'ezer. You know, there are certain things that the father can ask of his son that he can't ask of his wife. So when you say the son is obligated in the covet of the father, the mother is not equally obligated in that for her husband. So says the Pesach Yeshuva, that would be a nafkamina. Let's say the mother and father are both asking for that malacha from the child. The child's obligated in the father, but the wife's not obligated in the husband. V'imo gamken amr lo lasos l'malacha hahi, shneim shovim. L'hachi naktu ashkeni mayim, shezu l'olam chayevas afim yichnisu lo kama shvachos. So therefore, the Pesach Yeshuva says, that's why the Gemara gave as an example, where both say, bring me a drink. Because bring me a drink is something a wife should do for a husband, a child should do for a parent. Again, this is not very 2007 PC, but this is something that the assumption is a wife is doing for a husband, a child is doing for a parent, and that's why the conflict is created. But if it was a type of malacha where the child is obligated to a parent, but the wife is not responsible to the husband, then shneim are not obligated in the husband, and then, again, you'd be left in the situation where the child would have to choose in between. The Minchas Chinuch... Oh.
You might think that that should be a
halakha. Good. Good. Right? You might think that it's chronological. Good. I think some do reference that. The Minchas Chinuch has a different understanding of the whole Gemara. And the Minchas Chinuch talk says, if you're talking about an orphan over here, why was this orphan asking if my mother and father each asked me for a drink? So the Minchas Chinuch understands that the Gemara is not talking about a mother and father. It's talking about a mother who remarried to a stepfather. And that was the Gemara's question. Look at the Minchas Chinuch. In the middle section, it's Mitzvah Lamed Gimel, Mitzvah Kibbut Av Eim. V'gamim imo omeres lo hashkeni mayim, u'bal imo omer hashkeni mayim, v'adai mechuyiv litein le'imo. After v'aviv mamash chayiv litein le'aviv, kimavuar b'kiddushin, du v'imo mechayav mechvod aviv, hainu b'aviv mamash, techaye bechvodo mitzar atzmo, v'hem shkulim. Al ken yaktim le'aviv, kevin digam imo chayiv es bechvod aviv. Aval kan, ikor shechayiv bechvod ha'em, achal aviv chorgo chayiv mitzar kibur ha'em, im ken hi kodemes, kevin shehi rotze v'chol achibur hu mach masa. The obligation to honor a stepfather is not a direct obligation to the stepfather. It's an indirect obligation through the mother. So when the stepfather wants something and the mother hasn't asked, then you honor the stepfather. So, but if they're in conflict, then the mother comes first. So if it's your mother versus your biological father, that's when the father comes first. But if it's your mother versus a stepfather, then it's the stepfather. V'zeh poshet gamken. Im aviv mochel einu tzorach l'chabed es eishes aviv. V'cheinim ha'em mochelos. So therefore, if the in-between is mochel, you're not obligated to honor the step. So the mother says, don't worry about your stepfather. He'll get his own drink. Then you're not obligated to honor the stepfather. Okay.
Then she becomes becomes a Gerusha instead of a Gemara.
Maybe.
If that's what the Gemara meant, then why did he give a humorous answer? Why did he make fun of him that he was asking his question? And then it would become a more serious question in the Gemara.
Right. So look at the Shita Lanot Dami. Go to page 8. Because the Shita Lanot Dami also, under the Shita Lanot Dami is one of the Rishonim. I would tell you who he is, except he's the Shita Lanot Dami, and that includes me. So, the Shita Lanot Dami writes, the top left-hand side, Perish l'fisha ra'in av adumim mibein bechi v'hikishu ben almana v'lalum ar'alach al'maisa yishar al'alum ha'torah v'yigida amir d'kishar yashol ha'ezim ha'em kodem mishum bal imo ha'yashol. Shita Lanot Dami, the Rishon understands, not like Rashi, he wasn't asking, theoretically, my mother and father both ask. He was asking, my mother and my stepfather, the Tanya, as imcha ze bali mecha. Miu ki av a boy in his garsha, ma'u lil motora yeshoa. What was the theoretical question was, what if they're divorced? V'yiga da'amri ben yirzei inecha sh'epikech, k'darminan tahu yasma bar armata katlinu l'kulhu. Okay, so he understands that it was not a theoretical question. It was a practical question. True, I don't have a father. It's not that my mother and father are both asking at the same time. What was the theoretical question for which he provided the sarcastic answer was the case of Nizgarsha. Because for that he was saying, I know that you're not divorced. I know that your mother... Right. I know that your father's not divorced. Maybe your mother divorced the stepfather, but it's not a divorce of your biological mother and your biological father. Okay, weiter. Zog the Gemara, Darash Ula Rabba Apischa de Bein Nesia. My Dechsev, what is the pasuk that says, Yoducha Hashem Kamachi Oretz Kishamu Imre Picha? Yoducha Hashem Kamachi Oretz Kishamu Imre Picha. My Mar Picha Lo Nemar, it doesn't say in the singular, Ma Mar Picha Ela Imre Picha. In the plural, it sounds like only after the nations of the world heard, are praising Hashem, then they accepted what was said first. When Hashem gave the first of the two Aseres HaDibros, at first when the nations of the world heard Hashem announce the first two of the Aseres HaDibros, they said, God must be some arrogant God. This Ribon Shel Olam really needs a lot of attention. He asked all about him, Anochi, and you can't worship anyone else. But once they realized Hashem was not only preserving his kavod, but he was also demanding the kavod of biological parents, they realized that Kadosh Baruch Hu is okay all along. Hodu, they were mode to Hashem, even about the first ones. You know, this
assumes that all the dibros were verbalized to the world.
At least the first two that Kosh Baruch Hu said himself. The first two that were heard beyond. Now this attitude, the notion that someone could think of Hashem as arrogant, I'll tell you, he was in the news a little bit recently, but Larry David, the writer of Seinfeld's mother and father lives here in Boca. One of our members was their doctor, and when his mother passed away, he asked me to be involved in doing the funeral, so I spent a day and a half with him. Very interesting character. Anyway, we got into a very deep philosophical discussion about Judaism. I unfortunately did not make much headway. But this was part of the discussion. What was his hang-up? Why is God so arrogant that he wants us to pray to him every day? And that prayer has to include so much praise. Such an arrogant God needs our praise. So we spent a couple hours talking about this. I tried to explain to him that our praise for God is an insult. It's not praise. It's praise when somebody you admire, somebody of worth, praises you. When someone so insignificant, inconsequential, someone who in other ways is really failing you, praise you, you're tolerating that praise. You're not welcoming it. God doesn't invite our praise because he's arrogant. We're not praying for God. He doesn't need to hear it. We're of course doing it for ourselves. But you see that even ignorant Jewish people have this attitude of the Umas HaOlam. God Anochi and Lo Yelecha. God thinks he's all that he needs our praise. So the Gemara says the Umas HaOlam felt that and thought that until he got to the Kaveres Avicha Vesimecha. Rava Amar Mehacha. Rava has a similar idea. Rosh Tvarcha Emes, Rosh Tvarcha Velo Sof Tvarcha. The Umas HaOlam heard Rosh Tvarcha Emes, Rosh Tvarcha only Velo Sof Tvarcha. Ela Sof Tvarcha Nikar Shaf Rosh Tvarcha Emes. Chacham saw from the Sof Tvarcha when you got to Kibbut Av, they saw even Rosh Tvarcha, even Anoche Lo Yilcha. That too is a form of Emes. Look at Rashi. Koshkin Shchayvadn Bechvodu Avu Shutov Bebriyasa Kavav Imo. Mosul Masurim Biyado. Rosh Dvarcha Emes. Lo huska kakos of Loma Rosh Dvarcha Emes Levi Shahayu. Miranim Achar Dvar Varishonim. Loma Lachvodo Hizir Lachar Zvan Chazr Vahodu. Kishasham Musov Dvar of Lomdu Shirosh Dvar of Emes. When they heard the Sov Dvar of, namely Kibarav, then they were Moda. They admitted that the beginning of the words were also true. What's bizarre about how Kibud Av is characterized here? How is it characterized as? Sof Dvarav. How many commandments are there? 10. Where's Kibud Av aim? Why is it called Sof Dvarav? It's not the Sof Dvarav. So look at the Marsha, page 9. Marsha on page 9 says the following. I was learning this with Rabbi Dr. Brian Galbit, Rebaruch Tzvi ben Rivka Batshish, Rebbe Rafua Shlema. So before we saw it in the Marsha, he already offered this beautiful suggestion. And then we saw it inside in the Marsha. Zog the Marsha, where I underline, Yesh l'daktik, heichan huskar sov t'varcha b'mikra. What do you mean, sov t'varcha? V'nir alomar da'aseif v'dekra kasamach, t'chsiv l'olam kamish ba'tzidkecha, v'fisha mitzvah kivar ave'em, mitzvah sichlitz, nimusus k'demaisi b'samach, ma'asa goyach, adubas imo, v'lahodu masa olam ha'idei mitzvah zu gam l'rishonas. V'zah shakasu za'adei sov t'varcha, Shem l'chol ol mishpat tzedek, haynu kibarav ve'em, hodu l'rosh dvarcha, shem anochav li'alecha. So the Marsha's first explanation is, why is it called Sof Dvarcha? Because of the end of the Pasuk. What's the end of the Pasuk? L'olam kol mishpat tzedekecha. L'olam means that, is kibarav ve'em, is it a religious mitzvah? Is it a ritual mitzvah? Or would you characterize it as a mitzvah sichli? It's a logical mitzvah. The answer is, it's a logical mitzvah. The Gemara is about to tell us that non-Jews specialize in this mitzvah. In some ways, even passing Jews. It's a mitzvah sichli, it's a logical mitzvah. You show a karas hatov to the people who brought you to this world. So when they saw this mitzvah sichli, that's the sof of the pasuk. But then he continues. Or the other pshat is, Mashama shebelucho shtayim ayukol echad hey dibros, vavale kibara ve'em sof hey dibros, miluach harishona. Maisi basach itar tov de dechenu dagoy mekayim kibara ve'em. Where does Kibud Av Ve'em fall?
The end of the first.
The first five are Bin Adam L'Makom. The second five are Bin Adam L'Chavero. Where would you put Kibud Av Ve'em? I would have put it in the second five. Honoring parents is between man and man. Where did Hashem put it? The fifth. It's the last one of the first tablet. Why is it the last one of the first tablet? It makes sense based on what we learned last week, where Hashem says, if you honor your parents, I consider it as if you honor me. Shlosh Shutvim Beish Ba'adam. There are three partners in man. So therefore, says the Marsha, said Rabbi Dr. Galbit, Sof Dvarcha Emes. Why is Kibud Av Ve'em Sof Dvarcha? It is the end of the first tablet. When I realize, Shalosh Shutvin Yesh Ba'adam, when I realize there are three partners in man, Sof Dvarcha Emes, then I accept it on the Rosh Dvarcha as well. I accept it on that even when you, Hashem, said Anochi Lo Yilecha, it was because you were including yourself among the three. Vayter in the Gemara. Boy min Ravula. They asked Ravula, Arhechan Kibud Av Ve'em. How far does Kibud Av Ve'em go? How far do we take Kibud Av Ve'em? Amar lahem, Ravula said, Tzuru'u ma'asa ovi kochad mechad ba'ashkelon v'doma ben Asina shemo. Go check out what this goy, this non-Jew did in Ashkelon. His name is Doma ben Asina. Once they went to go buy something for 600,000 golden coins. Dama ben Nesina, the key was where? Under Nesina's head. And Dama ben Nesina, Dama refused to awaken his father, Nesina, in order to get the key. What did it cost him? It cost him a boatload of money. And nevertheless, he refused to wake him. How is the position? Look at Tosfos. The chest was under his legs. His legs were resting on it. And he didn't want to wake his father. That's how great the Kibud Av Ve'em of Dama ben Asina was, not to wake his father, even though it cost him an enormous amount of money. If his father were Jewish, the Kibud Av Ve'em would have been to wake him. But for the non-Jew, he wanted the shluf more than he wanted the money. Amar of Yehuda, let's go weiter. Amar Shmuel, Shalos Rabbi Eliezer, Arechem Kibud Av Ve'em. Amar Lehem Tzuru Ma'asa V'Kochav Nechad Lavi Ba'Ashkelon V'Dama Ben Asina Shmo. We have a different version of the same Gemara. Bikshu M'Menu Chachamim Avonim La'Eifod. So the Chachamim were looking to buy
stones
for the Eifod. B'shishim ribo sachar for an enormous amount of money. Rav Kana Masna b'shmonim ribo some say even more. Hayimavteach munach tachad miroshav shalaviv, and the key was under the head of his father Nesina v'lotziyor. He wouldn't wake him. The shana acheres, the next year, nasma kodesh baruch hu scharo, he was repaid for that great amount of kibbut aveim. Shenodu l'parah aduma be'edro, he was worthy of a red heifer being born in his flock. Nichnasu chachmei Yisrael etzlo, they went to go purchase this red heifer. Amar lahem, said Dama, yodeani b'chem shem, ani mevakesh mikem kol mamon sheba'olam, atem nosin li, I know the value of a parah aduma for you. I know I could ask you all the money in the world. Ella, ein ani mevakesh mikem, ella oso mamon shevsadati b'shevel kavod abba. But I'm not asking for all the money in the world. All I want is to retrieve, to recover the money I gave up by not waking my father. If you'll give me that money now, I'd be grateful to get that money now. That is the story. Who? What other goy, what other non-Jew do we know that excelled in mitzvahs kibbut aveim? We're reading about him this week's parsha. Yaakov and Esau were born. Esau excelled in this as well. Look at the Ritva, page 10. Zok the Ritva. When was the story? Dama ben Nesina. When was this? Says the Ritva, Perish Maisezaya Bebaya Sheni. This happened at the time of the Second Temple. Shrei Parah Aduma She'asam Moshe, he speak al-Lecho Yimei Bayis Rishon. Because the Parah Aduma that Moshe made produced enough ash that it still lasted for the entire period of the First Temple. V'chitemel me'inayim ha'yalem Shamir Bebayis Sheni la'avna Ephod. So the Ritva says, if you want to know when did Dama ben Nesina know, you can isolate. He must have been during the time of the second Beis Hamikdash. Then Shita Lona Delami says the opposite. Go back to page 8. Zakta Shita Lona Delami. Im Tomar v'halo havu urim v'tumim v'bayis sheni. In the time of the Bayis Sheni, they weren't operating with the Urim and Tumim. So why did they need to buy these stones for the Ephod or for the Urim and Tumim? So he has a discussion over here exactly. And here you see the Rishonim are having this discussion. How can we pinpoint exactly when Dama ben Nesina lived, when this story happened? All right, we're going to pick it up from here next week. About Metzuva Va'osa. Gadol on Metzuva Va'osa. Well, actually, just read it now for a second. Two more lines. Amar Bichanina, Mal Misha'ino Metzuva Va'osa. Kach Metzuva Va'osa, Alachas Kama V'Kama. Wow. If this is the reward, he got all this money, he was merited a Parah Aduma, all because he did a mitzvah that he's not obligated in. Kibbut Aveim is not one of the Shev Mitzvah B'nei Noach. A non-Jew is not obligated in Kibbut Aveim. And yet, he got this enormous reward. All the more so, a Jew who's obligated to keep it aveim. Tama Rabbi Chanina, Godo Metzuva Va'osa, Yosem Mishenu Metzuva Va'osa. The reward when you're obligated in something is even greater than the reward when you're not. And I'll leave you with this question we'll start with next week. Shouldn't it be the opposite? Shouldn't the reward when you're obligated be greater? But when you're not obligated, here you are volunteering to do something. Shouldn't the reward be greater for that? That's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara holds, Godel Metzuva Va'osa, Mishenu Metzuva Va'osa. That's where we're going to start with Amir Tz Hashem next week. Have a great week.